It's a pretty gloomy morning in Melbourne. If you win the toss, you might want to bowl in these conditions. The wicket might have a little bit in it, but Shield season starts tomorrow, not today, with Victoria taking on South Australia at the Junction Oval, and the coach of the Victorian cricket team, Andrew McDonald, joins us. Andrew, good morning.
Morning, Whitey. Morning, all.
Now, you've had a bit of a sort of an interesting build-up to this game because selecting the team has been quite difficult.
Yeah, selection's always difficult when you've got all the Australian players available. So we've had some tough decisions to make, and it sort of played out in the 11 that we've named, and there's a few notable omissions that had significant contributions for us last year.
So how tough was that? We actually talked about this last week when John Holland and Chris Tremaine came down for our spring carnival launch about fitting everybody in, that it's just impossible to do it. How do you go about that as coach for someone like Matt Short, who was so good for you so many times last year, to not be able to select him?
Yeah, it's really difficult, but it's a good problem to have when everyone's available. Usually you've got Australian selections that take care and make some space for players, and there's usually some injuries, but we're pretty fit at the moment and Australia's got no cricket on. So yeah, someone like Matthew Short, who had a breakout year to some degree last year, was significant in the role that he played for us. It's unfortunate that he misses out, so he has to wait his turn and look for that next opportunity. And that's the hard thing. There's only 11 spots available, and we try to pick the best team for that game. And unfortunately, Matthew Short is the official 12th man for this game.
And you look at the top six: Maddison, Harris, Bukowski, Hanscom, Finch, Maxwell. That is almost as strong as you can get.
Yeah, it's probably one of the few times that we've had everyone available in my time. So as you said, that reads pretty well. But as we know, that's on paper. It's all about going out there and performing. And we've got a pretty good opponent in South Australia, albeit they haven't had probably the greatest year last year. But the last few years have been right up there and competing with some players in a couple of grand finals over the time. So we'll have our work cut out, no doubt.
And Andrew, I can imagine the Travis Dean conversation was pretty hard as well. I mean, he captained for you for a fair chunk of last year and can't get a game one.
Yeah, that was another tough conversation. So you're spot on. they always pop up. And Travis Dean, unfortunately, did a significant job leading the team last year. He's an important player, and he'll be an important player for us going forward. Unfortunately, he misses out. And Nick Maddison will open. I think Whitey's got that spot on. We contemplated a few other orders, but Nick Maddison was the obvious choice. He got 180 just before Christmas against Western Australia last year at the MCG, so we feel like he can do that interim role, and then obviously with Australian selections, we'll probably see Travi come back in and take his opening position up again.
Andrew, you talk a little bit about that Australian selection part of it, which is obviously something we're all keeping an eye on, and no doubt in the players' minds a bit. How do you approach that for these first few games of the season when the selection for the summer is on the line?
We don't really talk about it, Sherelle. It's something that can become a distraction. Everyone knows it's there, but it's not something that enters in our change room. It's really about, first and foremost, performing for Victoria. And we believe that if we're winning games of cricket and our players are performing, then that puts them in the best position to be picked for Australia anyway. So it's a bit of a byproduct. So we totally ignore the external noise around selection. We'll let other people do the talking around that. Look, players no doubt know when they're sort of in line for selection and what's coming up. There's no doubt about that, but we try to relax them and get them in the best performance zone for Victoria, as opposed to thinking too far ahead. As we know, sport's dangerous if you're thinking too far ahead.
Well, that's right, and you talk about that performance zone. You mentioned before South Australia didn't have a great season last year. In fact, they've lost, I think they've had a run of about 13 losses or so coming into this. But how do you get the mindset right for that? Is it, I'm sure you don't mention that side of it, but is there an element when they're such a strong team that you kind of need to find a different way to get them fired up?
Not really. We respect every opponent, and that's one of the great strengths of Victoria, is respect your opposition, plan and prepare like you do every other game. It's not about who you're coming up against. It's about getting yourself ready for that game. And as I said, we've got full respect to South Australia. It wasn't that long ago that we played off in two Shield finals against them, and we had our work cut out against a quality side. And Travis Head, Jake Lehman, Weatherall, the young up-and-coming opener, Alex Carey, Kane Richardson, Adam Zampa. There's a lot of quality in that lineup, and I think last year South Australia sort of tinkered with their lineup towards the end of the year. They left out Tom Cooper and Callum Ferguson and a few bigger names to expose some younger talent. So they were looking forward to this year, and I think they're well placed to go up the table again this year. So with full respect to them, and we'll plan and prepare the best we can.
Two players I wanted to ask you about. Firstly, James Pattinson coming back. He obviously got back into the test team, which we're all really excited about. How is he going, both mentally and physically, for a new season for Victoria?
Yeah, he's ready to go. He's had a little bit of a break. We didn't play him in the first couple of one days. He came back in against Queensland at the Junction, had a couple of games there. So he's well placed. I think it's been a significant year for him. I know that people were talking about, you know, he only played two test matches during the Ashes campaign, but to us that was a great success from where he's been, and full credit to him the way that he's come back from that operation, and just him getting back to playing is a huge success. But to see him out there playing test cricket was great for everyone, including himself.
There's no doubt about that. And Marcus Harris, there was so much talk about David Warner and his struggles against particularly Broad and also Archer coming around the wicket to him. Marcus had similar issues and seemed to lose his confidence a little bit. What's his mindset like? He sort of scratched around a few times in the one-day game and then had that good last match before you go into the Shield season. How is he mentally and physically going into a Shield season that, you know, he clearly dominated last year in?
Yeah, he's well placed, but you wouldn't know whether Marcus gets a duck or he got 200. You know, he's the same person day to day, and that's what we love about him. And his energy, his preparation, everything he's bringing to the group, you know, is of the highest quality. So he's well positioned for the Shield season. Had a great year last year. No guarantees that he'll have a great year this year. He understands that, so it's about backing that up. And you talk about the Ashes. I mean, both teams were 2 for 20 every game, it seemed like. So it was difficult for the top order players. There was enough seam movement there. And Stuart Broad, quality bowler, left-handers. I mean, it's a good thing that Stuart Broad's not playing Shield cricket. So I think he gets a bit of respite from that matchup. And Jofra Archer, as we know, he's an up-and-coming, you know, top-line bowler in world cricket. So it was difficult for opening batters over there. So I wouldn't judge both of Marcus and David too harshly on the Ashes campaign.
Now, Andrew, your name was popping up during the Ashes. English coach. What was it like to have it getting thrown around? And did anyone get on the phone and give you a call?
No, I think that the way that those things roll is you put your application in. I didn't put it in. So it's not a job that I was entertaining or heading in that direction. So I'm enjoying the work that I'm doing here at home. And, yeah, it was probably an unwanted distraction from what I was trying to do over there, to be quite honest. But I enjoyed the first test match at Edgbaston. You know, it was good to be over there during an Ashes series where I think most Australian cricket lovers would want to be there. And I was fortunate enough to spend a couple of weeks over there doing some other business. And in no way was that linked to Ashley Giles, as was speculated.
Is it a down-the-track thing, maybe?
I always say you're open to a conversation, but not at this time. I'm pretty happy doing what I'm doing, and I'm enjoying cricket in Australia, and you know, I've got a couple of other things on the go in terms of shorter competition, so really liking that, and it's fitting nicely. But you never say never, but unfortunately, coaching, there's no pathway for coaches. It's sort of take the job that's opportunistic at the time. So, as I said, you're always open to conversations here and there.
He'll be the next coach of Australia. He doesn't need to worry about England. Before we let you go, Andrew, just Dale Steyn, that was named overnight as the new franchise player for the Melbourne Stars. Just your reaction to that, obviously coaching the Renegades, but just to have someone of his star quality in the competition?
Yeah, great news for the competition. Quality performer. Well, he's had some injury issues over the time, but if he's fully fit, then there'll be nothing better than Dale Steyn running in at the MCG for the Melbourne Stars. So full credit to Trent Woodhill in his list management direction there. He's been able to attain a quality performer like that. So I think that gives the competition a bit of a shot in the arm in terms of, as you said, star power. And the next thing is obviously performing, and I'm sure that will take care of itself. He's a top-class bowler, so he'll be fine.
Don't give them too much credit. We spoke to Huss earlier. It happened by accident. It didn't happen. It wasn't even on their radar. And all of a sudden,
he walked past
and said, I'll come and play. That's what Huss said this morning.
Sounds like Huss has got things under control.
Yeah, that's right. Before we let you go, we just got a text message coming through, and I think it's a relevant question to ask about how Mackenzie Harvey's going, because he is one of your good young players coming through. We've seen a sample of him in short form cricket. Is he someone that you think has got first class sort of honours not far away?
Yeah, we have. We do think that. He got some exposure into the Big Bash last year, which was fantastic. Did some good things there. He's definitely at the level. Unfortunately for us, he's got under-19s World Cup and all that sort of stuff coming up as well. So he's going to have a pretty full program. someone that we'll look to expose at some time in the next 12 months. And there's another one too, young Jake Fraser-McGurk, who's another good young player as well. So that's one to look out for. So we're in good hands with the young talent that we've got coming through, in particular in the batting department. So really excited about what the next 12 to 24 months looks like for those players and us as a group.
Andrew, thanks for your time, and I'll see you down at the Junction Oval tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
I'll see you there, Whitey. Thanks for your time, guys.